thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, the podcast that covers everything mixed martial arts. And today we're covering a pretty exciting weekend of cards from the weekend of May 8th, in which we had UFC Fight Night 87, which had some amazing knockouts. An impressive card from Invicta 17. And then as a bonus, we're going to cover a little bit of the main event for ONE FC. Or actually, it's a ONE Championship now is what it's called. Okay, let's get started here. The first we're going to cover UFC Fight Night 87, which was Overeem versus Orlovsky. And that fight, it didn't last very long. But, man, it was just you know, a brutal fight. Impressive. Alex Overeem came in. I was really expecting Andrei Arlovski to really get back on track and pull off an impressive win and get him back in the title picture. But instead, it was actually the guy who's just been, you know, a wrecking ball lately, and that's Alex Overeem. He came in, a solid shot to the chin, with a karate kick, and Arlovski was done. It really, with this win, which, I mean, like I said, it was more of an annihilation. Arlovski didn't really last very long, but with this win, it really puts Overeem right into the title picture. I can't see anyone getting a title shot before Alistair gets his title shot, and that even includes Cain Velasquez. Now, for Andrei Arlovski, man, with coming off of two losses in a row, even though, you know, it's going to really hurt him, he's going to go down the line and, you know, he's going to fall quite a ways in the rankings. And I think a lot of people are going to say he's washed up and he's done for. I don't know. I don't think he's done for. I think, you know, he just ran into two really bad situations, especially this last fight where, you know, he came in an aggressive style and, you know, he just got caught. And when you're dealing with two big, giant heavyweights like these guys, both of them are, you know, very heavy-handed. And Overeem's case, very heavy-footed as well, because that shot to Arlovski's chin just really took him out. So, you know, just a really, really impressive impressive victory on the part of Alistair. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing who comes out of the Verdum fight and see who's going to actually be the champion. But I think Alistair actually has a really good shot at being champion now. And it's kind of way overdue. He was set to be fighting for the championship a number of years ago. And just, you know, by different circumstances, he just didn't make it. Now he's right in that picture. Now, there's another fight on this UFC Fight Night 87 card that, you know, I watched and I was really happy on one part, and that was and what I'm referring to is the Stefan Struve Antonio Bigfoot Silva fight. I looked at it and, you know, because of all the stuff that Stefan Struve has gone through with injuries and everything, seeing him actually get back on track with a really impressive knockout was so impressive. I was really happy for him. It really puts him right back into contention for, you know, getting in line for a title shot. He's, you know, he's definitely one of the top UFC heavyweights now. But on the other side of this, we're talking about Antonio Bigfoot Silva. And I look at him and I look at his fights, his last few fights, and it's actually kind of sad because at one point in time, I thought he was one of the most dangerous men in the heavyweight division. And now it's just, I just each fight, I just feel like it's disappointing after disappointment after disappointment. And, you know, when I look at him and I say, is it time for him to retire? And I think it is a yes. At worst case scenario, I do look at Bigfoot and I say, maybe Bigfoot at least needs some extended time off. You know, he's been getting caught with some shots that, you know, that he's going down really fast. I was listening to another UFC podcast that was talking about how he hasn't quite been the same since they banned the testosterone treatments, which in his particular case, this isn't like a Barry Bonds or situation where he's using it for performance enhancement. The way I understand, he has a pituitary gland issue, and maybe that's really affecting him because he just hasn't been the same. You know, kind of makes me think of, you know, back when Brock Lesnar was fighting, and Brock ran into some major health issues. And once he ran into his health issues, he was never the same. And that's kind of the way I look at Bigfoot Silva now. It's either he's gotten old and he just can't take a shot anymore, or, you know, the health issues are catching up with him and he can't perform the way he should be able to perform. Now, also on that UFC fight night card, you know, we had also Gunnar Nelson, which had a pretty impressive fight. Gunnar seems like he's getting back on track. Won his fight with a neck crank, which was pretty impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing Gunnar again in the future, just seeing how much he's improved and how much he's back on track. I was definitely pleased with his performance as a whole, and you know, like I said, looking forward to seeing what happens with him in the future. There was one person on this card that I really didn't know much about her, but she really impressed me, and that was Jermaine Durami. And she came in, and, you know, originally, only thing I'd heard about her was she was offered the Cyborg fight for this next weekend's card, and she turned it down. She really wanted to fight on this card here. But, you know, I looked at her, and I watched her, and she is one impressive woman. Her striking skills are just, you know, very, very precise, very on point. I looked at her and I say, you know what? This woman could be a contender at some point in time. I mean, she has her skills and she looked really impressive. And so I'm looking forward to seeing more from her as well. With that, you know, what's next? We're going to actually cover the Invicta 17 card when we come right back. Okay, I'm back. And the next thing we're going to talk about was actually the card that really was just a great card from start to finish. You were never disappointed. You know, the main event was Tonya Evinger versus Colleen Snyder, which we're going to touch on. Tonya Evinger, just as always, this woman is just a beast. Very focused. I mean, she came in, she handled business, and she just was a wrecking ball. I mean, she just went through, handled business. There's only one bad thing. I don't know if I'd necessarily say it was a bad thing, was after after she won and everything was done, the big surprises of her throwing up in the bucket like two or three different times. And then she's getting interviewed by the ring announcer, and she's going through, and then she says something about she wants to shock the world, and then she goes over and she kisses the ring announcer right on the mouth. And the big thing was the ring announcer wasn't prepared for it, so Tonya just threw one on her, mouth open, and I'm like, oh God, she just threw up. And so I was just like, oh, it was just nasty and brutal. Well, as a whole, but anyway, back to the main card, which you want to stay on point was, you know, what was the most important part of the Invicta card? It was, like I said, this card was stacked from head to toe. And so I'm going to touch on a few of the fights other than the main event. But, you know, before I leave from talking about Tonya Evinger, she's no sideshow, guys. Everyone who hasn't taken a chance to get to know who Tonya Evinger is. Tonya is just a stud fighter. And, you know, I went back because I know she was on The Ultimate Fighter, and I always wondered, like, okay, she was on Ultimate Fighter, but nothing came of it. And so I went back and looked at the episode that she was on, and she just got a bad draw. I went and looked, and all the teams were getting drawn, and then there was two fighters that just was chosen that they had to fight to get in. And Tonya ended up being picked to fight another lady. And so Tonya had to fight. If she won, she was in the Ultimate Fighter. If she lost, she was out of the Ultimate Fighter. She came in. She dominated. In my opinion, she dominated the fight all the way through, and then she got ended up fell into a submission, and she's out of the Ultimate Fighter because she got caught in a submission. I really wonder how things would be different if she did not get picked for that random winner you're in kind of situation. Because I think she would have been my favorite to win the Ultimate Fighter. So she would have been in the UFC, and I think this woman can contend seriously in the UFC. So I'm very curious about how, you know, life would have been different for her. But I will also say this, with Cyborg being brought over to the UFC, I gotta say, Tonya has to be the next person from Invicta to come over to the UFC because she's a force. She's a force, and you can't ignore her forever. The UFC cannot ignore her forever. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with Tonya in the future. But, you know, I'm going to move on, and we're going to talk about some of the other cards. Okay, and the card, starting out, I wanted to talk about Megan Anderson. I mentioned her in a previous episode leading up to this event that I think Megan Anderson is a star about to explode. And that night was no different. Megan is a force. Megan is just a powerful, powerful woman. And she truly just beat Bell down. It was just kind of funny how she ended the fight because, you know, the bell was about to sound. Megan hits her with a huge kick and a punch, and Bell is down. The bell sounds, and I don't know if the fight is over or if they're going in between in the rounds, but Bell can't get up, and they just kind of waved it off. She was done. I mean, she got blown up, and she was done. And so Megan Anderson just finished her off at the very. It's officially a one of the first round knockout. Right at the 5-minute point, and I see Megan Anderson becoming a star in Invicta. Now there were some other fights, and there's one fight. Someone I'm a big fan of is Charmaine Tweet, and she went up against Latoya Walker, and I was expecting Charmaine to come in. It'd be, you know, there's a huge height difference. There's a lot of experience difference. And so I thought Tonya was just going to, you know, make it an easy night, and I was wrong. Tonya came in, and she started fighting Latoya, and Latoya was ready. Latoya came in. Latoya was cracking. I mean cracking Charmaine Tweet. I mean, and Charmaine was getting beat up. Latoya was clearly putting the pressure on her. And I didn't think Charmaine had much of an answer to her. And then out of nowhere, this fight is winding down. There's maybe like a minute 20 left. And I'm like, wow, Latoya's going to actually, you know, she's going to win this round. And I don't see if Charmaine Tweet even has an answer. And out of nowhere, it was just like, boom, this spinning back fist just cracks Latoya. And Latoya just falls to the ground, crumbles to the ground. Charmaine jumps on her. And the fight is over. And I'm just sitting there just speechless. Like, what the heck happened? I had to wait and look at the replay. And, I mean, it was the back fist from hell. Just, like, just nailed her. And Latoya was on Dream Street. Absolutely on Dream Street. So that was a really impressive fight. Full of, you know, I mean, if that shot doesn't get you out of your seat, nothing will. And so, you know, I was thinking the next fight's going to have a lot, you know, to make up for, you know, to be able to overcome such an amazing knockout. So it rolls into the next fight, and it's Angela Hill against Sosa. And, you know, Sosa's a good champion. She's a hard fighter. She went to the UFC. She had a couple of fights there where she didn't do that well. And then she got sent back to Invicta, and it was the best thing that could ever happen to Angela Hill, because Angela Hill was able to take her time, get her skill set together, and then recover from all the bad things that had happened to her from UFC. She got on track. She started dominating people. I mean, really fast, just taking people out. And since she got into this title fight, so it's Angela Hill versus Sosa. It was a really great fight. I actually had it Angela Hill winning a decisive decision. In the end, Sosa was behind. Sosa ended the fight with two or three different like submission attempts by the time the bell ended. And we have a new Invicta champion. with Angela over the hill. I mean, not over the hill. Oh, overkill. Not over the hill. That's a little different. Angela Hill is now the Invicta champion, and they won. She won by a split decision. I don't think Sosa was very happy about that, but I think it was the right decision. And then, like I said, it rolled right into the main event, which was Tollie Evinger, Colleen Snyder, which we talked about earlier, where, you know, Tanya just took care of business like she normally does. Now, there was another fight that wasn't in Invicta, and it wasn't in UFC, and it, you know, and normally the ones that we, that I kind of cover and pay attention to, there's four main ones that I cover, which is UFC is always number one, Bellator's two, Invicta's three, World Series of Fighting, but I don't normally cover one FC or one championship. They used to be called one FC, but now they're called one championship, I guess. Well, I don't know what's going on with the name change, but they had a couple. They had their event on this weekend, and I'm going to tell you what. This was a great weekend for fights, but the best fight from the best fighter was on one championship, and you know that one person is, and people don't realize because you know one championship is traditionally in. I think of it as more of an Asian fighting division. There's fight out of you know out of Asia. So I don't think of it in the U.S. you know realm of they're not normally in my sphere of paying attention to. But I got the chance to see this, and the first fight I saw Roger Gracie, and Roger Gracie just looks so impressive. Roger Gracie's been around a long time from the Gracie family. Anytime you stick the name Gracie on you, I mean you're gonna be a stud, and Roger's no different. You don't see Roger in the UFC. But Roger's an impressive fighter, and so Roger handled business, and then it rolled into the Angela Lee title shot that she got. And I'm telling you, some of the best technical fighting I have seen in years. She reminded me in a weird way like a female Anderson Silva, a female young Anderson Silva. I mean, nothing but skills, hard hitting. Her ground game is, you know, her grappling and ground game is second to none. I challenge anyone to find someone that's more technically sound than a 19-year-old woman from Hawaii. Because Angela Lee was just amazing, and she was fighting the champion who apparently has been had been fighting for a long time. She was an impressive fighter, and they went at it. I mean, they really went at it. It was maybe the best fight. I mean, it's definitely the best fight I've seen this year. But maybe one of the best fights I've seen in a long time. But these two ladies just really went at it. I would love to see her get into like Invicta or UFC because, you know, she's young. She's majorly talented. Angela Lee is. But, you know, right now she's in the one championship. Guys, if you get a chance, you got to check out the women's champion at one championship because she is one of the most technically sound, perfect fighters I have seen. So with that, I just wanted to touch on that and talk about some of the fights, you know. And then coming up, we have the big pay-per-view events that are coming up this next weekend here. So we're going to talk about that as well. So we have, first off this week, we're going to have the Bellator fight, which is, you know, a pretty impressive fight that's planned. And that is King Mo versus Phil Davidson. I'm looking forward to seeing this fight. Both of these guys are, Phil Davidson has been on a tear, you know, everyone, you know, from his time at UFC all the way. And then he's just been, you know, winning tournament after tournament in Bellator and, you know, and he's just been on a roll. And then you have King Mo. King Mo, you know, I used to think of King Mo as not someone that I really paid much attention to. King Mo was, I just kind of looked at him as, you know, someone that they were kind of propping up. And man, you know, as I started to pay attention more and I started to really start paying attention more to Bellator, I found out that, you know, King Mo is the real deal. King Mo is a guy that just packs a massive punch. I mean, he's been on a tear where he's been knocking people out left and right. You know, you have you know, you have this fight that's scheduled here in Bellator, which will put two of their top two fighters. And, you know, when I think about this fight, I say, you know, if it goes to the ground, I'm taking, you know, I'm definitely taking Davis. But, you know, Davis has to be very, very careful because he's going to be going up against a guy that can knock you out, and I mean knock you out cold, with one solid shot. It's that the guy that can hit you with, you know, the one shot, good night, let's go home kind of a fight. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's Bellator 154, which will be coming up. And then also on the same night is maybe the fight card so far of the year, which is UFC 198, which I would also say 2016 is, I look at 2016 as the peak for MMA fighting and the UFC, because there are so many amazing fights going on. You know, we had couple weeks ago, we had UFC, 197, rolls right into 198. And then, you know, you got 200, you got New York coming up. So there's some amazing just fights that are coming up here. But we talk about this event here that's coming up this week, which is UFC 198, which is Werdum versus Miocic. And at first, you know, you're talking about Fabricio Werdum, which is the heavyweight champion, going up against Stipe Miocic, which is one of the toughest fighters in the heavyweight division. And, you know, and I look at this, and I'm going to give you my predictions as I go down and I touch on some of the cards. You know, I look at Fabricio and I look at this fight, and as the more and more when I first heard this card, this was lined up, I'm like, okay, Fabricio's going to win, and then he's going to end up fighting Cain Velasquez. Now, as I get closer to the fight, I look at it, and I've taken a total different approach to this. As I look at these guys and I look at them closer and closer, I'm taking Stipe to be the new champion. I'm looking at Stipe to win the championship, and for some reason, I'm predicting Stipe to win impressively here. So that's my first prediction, is that I'm thinking that the title is going to change hands. And then let's touch on a few other cards where we have Belfort versus Sosa. And I'm taking Belfort to win, which is going to get him right back in the title picture. On the undercard, we have Cyborg versus Smith. And this, I'm going to laugh at this fight because Cyborg, there's no way the UFC is going to put her in there and have her lose. And so they gave her the perfect opponent. Cyborg is going to chew her up and just really just spit her out. I got Cyborg winning first round KO. I got Belfort winning first round KO. And I don't know what round, but for some reason, I got another KO going in here, but it may be later around, like a stoppage in the third or fourth round with Stipe being champion. You know, with that, you know, I just wanted to cover, you know, what was going on this week here, plus the fights that are coming up this weekend. With that, I'm going to wrap things up. I thank you for tuning in and listening to the Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, brought to you by Golden State Media Concepts. We'd love for you to follow us on our website, which is gsmcpodcast.com. You can also find us on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and also Google Play. With that, thank you for your time, and enjoy the fights, everyone. Have a